Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lane.
And I'm Bobby Norris.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. Literally living for this little bit of sun we're having.
Yeah.
It's making me feel so just, even just to sit in the garden, you know, when you're just catching up with emails, something nice about just sitting outside and just feeling a bit of sun on the old boat race.
And you're totally right. Apart from then suddenly you'll get an Arctic breeze blow over you. And then yeah. Apparently we're getting a heat wave in May. Don't know if you read.
Oh, no, are we? That's good.
Yeah. But I mean, it's one of those stories where it's like, you know, a blast from the desert or something. And it's like, who knows what will actually happen if it ever does, because you can't predict weather that far off. But if there is a heat wave, I mean, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. It beats the snowstorms
that we had just a week ago or whenever it was.
This is where we're at now. Literally, you do not know from day to day. And I look out the window and I think, right, it looks, and I made this mistake this morning, but it looks really, really sunny. I'm going to wear a short and t-shirt. And I went outside and I thought, nah, it's a deceiving one. The sun's in the sky, but it isn't quite, put your shorts on, Bobs.
No, it was get back in, get your fur coat on and your thermals. Yes. No, it was like that when I was rowing this weekend. It was very windy on the Saturday, so we couldn't go on the water. But I still managed to get sunburned. My pasty Scottish distant relative skin really messed me up. I even had sun cream on. I put it on twice and I still managed to get sunburned. Imagine what I'm like when I'm in Spain. I have to basically putting it on like every half an hour. Otherwise, I'm just a lobster. Like,
well, I was going to say, you've got quite a nice little glow. I mean, I know it's only via the Zoom, but you're not looking too red.
Well, it's obviously died down a little bit since. Hopefully.
It'll turn to tan eventually. That's what I'll tell myself.
But if it does that, then you're lucky, because mine just goes red and then back to white. There is no nice in between.
Don't get the golden.
Never, ever, ever have I ever had a tan, apart from when I had a spray tan once. Oh, no, actually, I tell a lie. I've had it twice. So I've had Botox once, spray tan twice.
Love it.
And the second time I had the spray tan, I was like, I'm never doing this again. This is a disaster.
Oh, why? So, why didn't you like it?
Wasn't even. I looked at pictures and I just looked awful. We got it done free for work for a Christmas party. First of all, it set the fire alarm off in the building, which was great. So there were people coming out of their spray. Anyway, and then also when I look at quick pictures, I was quite big at the time, you know, chunky wise. So I'm this big guy in with a patchy tan and a Christmas cardigan on. And it's possibly one of the worst pictures of me I've ever seen. But, you know, lesson learned, like, I just won't do it again. I'll just have to live. I'm a bit like Nicola Roberts from Girls Aloud. Sometimes you just got to embrace the way you are. Do you know what I mean? Get on with it.
Absolutely, babe. Yeah, good old Nicola. She's embracing. And that's the way forward. I have definitely calmed down with the spray tans because I got to a stage where I would always go, no, do another layer, do another layer. And like yourself, when I look back at photos, I did definitely step into orange territory, which I kind of think was a moment in time, to be fair. A lot of us fell into that kind of orange world. But now I kind of like to think I'm just a little bit more subtle with it. I love it when I first have it, love it for even a day or two. It's when, I think it's the OCD in me, when it doesn't fade evenly. And if it's not so bad in the winter because you can cover up. So if you get a little bit of patching, you can try and style it out. But when you're wearing the shorts and the little tops, you can kind of see it. But I remember at the height of us living for spray tans, a lot of us used to have a spray tan before we'd even go on our holidays, which ain't always the best thing, because you think, right, at least I've got a nice colour when I'm on the beach or around the pool to start with. But then halfway into that holiday, when the tan's fading and then you're trying to catch a real one, I mean, it's nostalgia.
I mean, it's something to look back on, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, and also when you get in the pool, does it go a bit like greeny? Can't it go a bit sort of greeny coloured?
Well, I think it all depends on, there's so many different variations of tan. Now, this is where I'm a tan expert, and a lot of them have different brands, have different undertones. So you kind of have to find what tone is best for your skin. Some do go greeny, some have like a
purpley
really warm
kind
orange,
of,
yeah, like a purpley kind of, yeah, a lilac tone.
Lesson learned, though, like you said, Bob, you know, we live and we learn. I've actually just quite controversially been offered some Botox, which I'm considering.
So tell me about your Bowie. You said you've had it once.
I had it once. I wasn't that convinced because I got this weird line under this eye. When I smiled, it kind of went like, I had a big line underneath my eye. So that kind of put me off. This is a new person. It's a PR thing. I would only get a little bit like on, I've got quite a big line in the middle of my forehead, maybe a little bit here. But then I just don't know if it's even worth it. I don't know.
I think with things like with Botox now, I think it's so down to the individual person. If it's something you really want and it's going to make you feel better, I think you've got to do what you want to do, babes.
That's the thing, though. It's like, I don't know if it's just because I've been offered it. I'm like, oh, yeah, go on then. But I'm not actually that bothered about my wrinkles or, well, they're not even wrinkles, but, you know, my lines. Like, you know, I don't know. So it's a hard one to decide.
See, I ain't got a drop left in my face since the panny day.
And do you like that?
Do you know what? I've kind of, where I was quite the fan, shall we say, I could notice the minute I got a bit of slight movement. And then obviously just the way the world's been since 2020, it's just the least of your worries. And I've noticed there's more than a bit of movement. As a couple of people have like to point out to me.
yes, I remember, yes.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit like, I don't know. Part of me thinks, do you know what, just embrace. Do you know what it is as well, is I get told, and I don't know if it's a really polite way of saying that the wrinkles are quite, they're dominant, but I'm always told you're quite expressionative. So I kind of, as you can see on my, like, I've got so many, but I've had that since I was about 24. So I don't think it's just an age thing. I do think I move my face a lot. Like, the face says it all, even when the words don't.
Got it.
So,
but it's not like, but it's the same. It's not like you're wrinkly. Do you know what I mean? It's just expression lines. So it's like whether, very lived in look, Bob. Yeah, there is. I mean,
I'll never say you never. Do you know what? Whether exactly. I have a little bit or not, I just, I'm not sure. But keep me posted. I'd like to know how you get on with your second one, because sometimes what you notice is they say after a couple of treatments is when you kind of really notice. So because you only had the one, you might like it more after your second.
Yeah, perhaps. I think as long as that mistake doesn't happen again, then I'd probably be quite happy. But then also it's summer, so I can just wear sunglasses all the time if it's really bad. Why? Can I not just deal with my face? Anyway, we have a super exciting show coming up today. First up, we have gorgeous Joanne Clifton, former Strictly star. She is appearing in a Eurovision musical. This is a bit of me. We're going to have a lot to chat about.
That's right up your street.
Right up my strata with Joanne. And then a pal of yours, S Club 7's Joe O'Meara. So should be a great show, right?
Lovely lineup. The two Joes.
The two Joes, the big Joes into it.
Yeah, girl power.
Girl power. There's been a little bit of celeb news about this week. Actually, talking about, you know, getting stuff done to your face. I don't know if you saw about Charlotte Crosby and the documentary that got made and has now been cancelled. It was called Celebrities, What's Happened to Your Face? It was about Charlotte Crosby. She put out quite an interesting thing saying, you know, her agents had asked for this show not to be made and et cetera, et cetera. It was about her mental health and, you know, how these things can really affect you. Of course. I mean, of course they can. And now the show's being cancelled. What did you make of that?
Well, I'll be honest. I hadn't seen the show.
Well, it hasn't aired. It didn't air. They cancelled it before it aired. Yeah. They ended up cancelling before
it aired. Okay. Because I thought, I didn't even see it advertised. But I heard the aftermath of it, or I heard after Charlotte had done her post and stuff, and I couldn't quite believe that a show like that, from what I could gather on it when I tried to look into it, it was basically a show with doctors and surgeons talking about her face, and I kind of thought, I just don't know if that's a necessary thing, like in a culture of trying to be kind, and I don't know how what positive would ever come from that, of sitting there trying to call out what people have had. And I'm a big believer, if you want to have something done, as we was just saying, whatever makes you feel good, as long as you don't feel you have to have something or you're doing it for anyone else, because I feel that's when it becomes a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it for you, go for it. And also, some people are more open than others about having things. Some people, yeah. There's a lot of celebrities out there that like to say that they've got fantastic moisturiser, and I'm all for that. Do you know what I mean? If that honey and oatmeal's doing it,
keeping that face tight.
Yeah, but then on the other side of the coin, if you want to stand on Big Ben and say, I have a bit of Bowie, what's the hardship?
I guess the argument is with that, is it... also, just to say, actually, the show did air. Apologies, I got that wrong. The show did air, but it was taken down for catch-up. I think it's if you're actively lying and also profiting off it. Does that make sense? So if you are using your face, if you're selling a makeup brand, for instance, and you are using your face to sell that brand, and then you lie about the stuff that you've had done, is that right? I mean, I can see the argument that maybe it's not, you know?
I completely agree. If you're making out and... like I say, but I'm not even any particular product. I don't know what the oatmeal product is. But if someone was to love that we've just invented a product.
Yeah, gorgeous. Let's try it.
100%. If someone's saying that something's given them a look which isn't true, then I think it is a very different situation. Mm. If someone has gone and had something done and privately wants to keep that quiet and just doesn't want to talk about it. Because I don't know if there still is. I think there is sometimes still an element. Some people feel that having surgery or procedures and a little tweak here and there is still seen as, I don't know if it's like a shameful thing or an embarrassment thing. And always different horses for different courses. I think it all depends how you are as a person.
That's a good point. That's a good point, though, I think, because I think some people think it's like your ego's too big or something, or you think that you're like better than everyone else because you can get surgery or, you know, that kind of stuff. I think with Charlotte, I think she's been fairly open about what she's had done. I don't think we know necessarily every single detail, but to basically troll her via a TV show on a mainstream channel as well, seems a bit taking it a bit too far. I've met Charlotte couple of times. I used to actually see her quite a bit back when I worked in celebrity magazines, and she was always really fun, like great laugh, very like down to earth, and it's a shame that it's come to this for her, I think.
Yeah, and in terms of, because I think when it comes to TV, you always want to know what the message is behind a show. Is it entertainment? Is it factual? In terms of, you want to know what it's falling under. A show like that, I just don't know what good was going to be from that, rather than encouraging people to then start just discussing someone's face. Was the whole show just going to be on Charlotte's face?
Yeah. It was even in the title. It was celebrities, what happened to your face, Charlotte Crosby, I believe.
I don't think there's any need for that kind of program. I really don't, especially in the culture we're living in now with dealing with social media and trolls as a whole. I think I think it was, that could only have encouraged negativity.
Mm-hmm.
And who are any of us to look at anyone and question what they do? And I always say, Botox or whatever the procedure may be, if someone wants to go and colour their hair, who are we to judge? If someone going as haircut, to me, we're kind of at a stage where I just think, do what makes you happy. If you want to talk about it, you do. If you don't, you don't. And like you mentioned, I think Charlotte's been open about things she's had done in the past. I was kind of, a bit taken back that was going to be a programme. But I do think Channel 5 have said that they're going to pull it from the streaming service.
Mm. So at least in the end, hopefully, you know, hopefully they'll make better decisions, I guess you could say, in the future. And hopefully Charlotte herself won't be too badly affected by it, because that mustn't be pleasant at all. There was some more positive news this week. I don't know. I mean, probably not a huge surprise. Katie Price is engaged.
Oh, I know. Bless her up. Because when we had her on here not that long ago, she was, well, she's got plans for 2021, hasn't she, Kate? Mm-hmm. She was saying this is the year. Oh, did she say she wants engagement, baby, and wedding all this year?
I believe she did, yeah. I believe she did.
Busy girl. So do you know what? Where are we now? April, quarter, third of the way. Do you know what? There's still time. Just trying to quickly do the maths. Is there time for the I mean, she could certainly get pregnant. I don't know if there's time for the baby to be born.
Well, if she isn't, she could already be pregnant. Who knows? You know, there were rumours maybe a couple of months ago, but she doesn't look it. But, you know, it doesn't mean she isn't. So, you know, she could be pregnant now and then have all of her wishes come true.
Which is lovely. I think really nice for her to kind of get her happily ever after. It's what she wanted. And yeah, I think just nice to see a little bit of positive news. And I mean, obviously she's been very open about her mum, Amy, her illness. Mm-hmm. And
so she has a degenerative lung condition, doesn't she? And so she's been very open about the fact that they don't really know how much longer she's got. So maybe she wants her mum to see her happy. She certainly seems to be with this Carl guy, more stable, I think. She would even say that herself, isn't she? She basically didn't drink for a whole year during the pandemic. And you know, maybe in the words of Liza Minnelli, maybe this time, you know, it's actually going to happen and be real. So, I'm hopeful for her. The only thing is, will there be a big OK style wedding? Apparently she has said she just wanted to keep it very small this time. So, Bob, we're not going to get our invites. I'm very upset.
No, I'm gutted. It was going to be an excuse to go get the suit out, go to the dry cleaners and, turn up. I mean, saying that, actually, I mean, I don't know what time frame or what month they'd be looking to have. Look at me actually thinking about outfits. But depending on the scale of what's left of 2021, and we can only go by what she said to us, I'm not sure even where we stand in terms of, are you able to have big weddings yet?
So the only thing at the moment, I think, is that you can have 30 guests outside, I think. But, you know, they're saying in June that all restrictions have gone, right? Hopefully, June 21st. So there is a possibility that, you know, that she could have 150 people at a wedding in August or something if she wanted. I mean, I imagine people would probably still have to be taking tests and doing all of that to, you know, keep the worst of the virus at bay. But yeah, you never know. She could still have a big one.
But I guess maybe now she's found Carl and she's found her one, maybe she does want to keep it a little bit low-key and on the DL and just have nearest and dearest and family. I mean, I'm definitely intrigued to know what the dress is going to be like.
I mean, yeah, she's had a couple of different ones over the years, hasn't she? Her one to Pete was like a big princess dress, wasn't it?
Yeah, with like the Cinderella carriage.
Yeah. Oh, that was kind of iconic, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I actually can't even remember what other ones she wore. Did she wear some kind of bikini thing?
I think she got. Did she get married in Vegas?
Oh yes, she did to Alex Reed. Yeah, and then there was another one. It was Bunny and Jet's dad. What's his name?
Kieran.
Kieran. Yeah. Kieran Haler. That's it. Yeah.
Was that done on a beach somewhere?
Yeah, I think it was like the Seychelles or Maldives or somewhere like that. Yeah. So yeah, she's had various different looks for her weddings. Maybe, you know, maybe she'll try something else this time round. We'll have to wait and see.
Absolutely, but massive congratulations to Kate and Carl. Lovely.
Indeed.
Names.
Yeah, really good.
Did you see the latest between Big Brother stars Pete and Imogen?
Yeah, about poor Nikki. Yeah, I mean it's a bit of a sad situation, isn't it?
Yeah, so Imogen's she's taken to Instagram to kind of call out Pete and by saying that he's betrayed Nikki by cashing in to reveal her final text and a haunting photo of her, which he's responded to. Obviously, it seems that he's taken offence to that. And it's just so sad, but it makes you realise when people are grieving and it's hard to know where people's heads are when they're taking to social media. And that's the thing now, it's so accessible. It's just literally everyone's fingertips. You just put your feelings and your thoughts within seconds and it's out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure the latest on that. I just know it's a very, very sad situation, as we mentioned, obviously, with Nikki passing recently.
Yeah.
How Imogen, who is a close friend of hers, and obviously Pete, who is her ex, and obviously thinks a lot of her, have kind of got to this point. But
it's really complicated, things like that, isn't it? Because, well, we don't always know the details about what goes on behind the scenes. We don't necessarily know how close Pete and Nikki were in her final years. As much as I don't think they weren't unfriendly or anything, you know, but that doesn't necessarily translate to being best of friends. And we also don't know how much Imogen was really involved in the whole thing. Nikki herself did ask for pictures of her body to be used, didn't she, in the fundraiser that was going on to support her care, which obviously sadly wasn't enough to save her life. Would she want something out there that might potentially help others deal with eating disorders? Perhaps. Was Pete right to do it? Who knows? It's kind of like maybe too early to make a proper judgment. And, you know, really tough, really tough. When anyone young dies kind of unexpectedly, it's tough, isn't it? And I think, yeah, for them too, it's for them three. Actually, for anyone that knows Nikki, Pete, Imogen, it's really difficult circumstance, I think.
And always such an impossible one to comment on, and certainly not for anyone to make judgment on, because behind closed doors, who knows the nature of any of them relationships and friendships. But I just think, if anything, at a time like this, when someone dies so tragically and so young, to kind of, as a legacy, try and take a shred of, like, if it helped one person looking in, and if it gets one person talking and getting help with an eating disorder or something, then that's the best you can possibly hope from such a heartbreaking situation.
We have our first guest, Joanne Clifton, ready to come in. Let's get her in.
Amazing. Hello, Jo.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, good. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I'm late.
That's fine. Apologize. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well. I've been doing a workout today, as you can probably tell from how I look on Zoom. I've been doing workouts, just been getting on with things. But yeah, it looks like theatre's starting up again. I can see all the news on Twitter and stuff like that. So I'm really, really happy.
I know, so long overdue, isn't it? I think the minute we can start getting the theatres in, the arts have suffered so hard over the last 12, 18 months.
Yeah, awful, absolutely awful. But we're getting there. Like, with all the news of, like, all the shows announcing the casts and the dates when they're opening, it's just making me more and more excited.
So tell us a little bit about this new show you're appearing in.
In Eurobeat.
This is a little bit of me. I'm so excited about this. So yeah, tell me about it.
It's basically, well, I think it is. I'd never heard of it or anything before, but then again, I've never watched Eurovision, but I think it's a spin-off musical version of Eurovision. It's already been in the West End. Mm-hmm. And I was just really honoured to be part of it and be part of that group of people when I saw the cast announcement. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm really, really honoured to be part of it. And I'm representing Lithuania of all countries. Yeah, and we're singing this song. Yeah,
I'm going to guess you don't know a huge amount about Lithuanian Eurovision entries then.
No, I've been to Lithuania. Definitely been to Lithuania. I used to compete there and stuff, and I had some like dance friends there, which is where I drew my inspiration from. And we me and George, we were a couple representing Lithuania, and we are the only ones who had to do everything without smiling. We were like really Eastern European serious. And the song talks is singing all about how we dance and this is how we party, but we've had to do it with a really straight face and like not good dance moves.
And are you singing it in Lithuanian?
I'm not, but I am doing a little accent. I'm going, this is how we dance, this is how we like to party.
So like a Russian-y vibe about
yeah,
it.
Kind of like that. I'm trying anyway. And literally we were there in the theatre filming it, and I was watching all the other acts. I think it was Scott Page and everything for Norway with Andy Coxon and stuff, and that everybody just looked amazing and sounds amazing, and everybody was having all this fun and stuff, and then we had to go on and just be dead serious, and we had to tell the people who were filming it, and everybody was there watching it being filmed. I was like, please don't let me hear you laugh, because otherwise I'll go. And I had to keep this straight face. It was awful, but in a good way.
And what was the atmosphere when you could all get together and start rehearsing? Was it just the best feeling?
Oh, it was so nice. I mean, we had to go in. We had time slots to go in with all the tests beforehand, obviously, with COVID, all the temperature checks, the masks. We're all in there with masks and stuff. With our song, there weren't any, like, backing dancers or anything. It was just us two and the choreographer and the director in the room, and we had to stay 2 meters apart, and it was strange, but still amazing to be there. Like, I got such a buzz, even though the dancing is on purpose, kind of like weird bad moves, but it was like the best thing ever. I think it was Callum Tempest with the choreographer, and I said to him, like, this is the best dance routine I've ever done in my whole life.
Is it quite hard for you to dance, like, I don't know, not necessarily out of tune, but not out of time, sorry, but like badly, or if people will know you from Strictly, you do tours and all these kind of things in normal times. Is it difficult to suddenly like be like, ugh?
Well, it was, Cam was saying, you know, don't have your posture so upright, don't like point your fingers when you're like doing hand movements and stuff, you know, keep it very like strange and odd and like not very good. So yeah, he kept commenting to stop dancing like properly.
I can't do that, pull your hand back.
Oh my gosh, I mean, I cannot wait to see the outcome. I am so excited. I've never been more excited to see myself dance than this musical. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
And like you say, it goes against everything you've probably spent your whole life training for. So to try and consciously do things, that's probably almost harder than doing it correctly.
Yeah, totally. And trying to do these bad movements. I mean, I know we're on Zoom to you guys because the listeners can't see, but I was doing this movement with my arm. And the more bad I was doing it, the more it was making me laugh, but we can't laugh. And I was laughing at myself, so we had to turn away from the mirror, because I was just laughing at myself. It was so much fun, though, without laughing, without smiling. It was so much fun.
So it's called the Eurobeat the Musical, is that right?
Yes.
Good. So
yes,
anyone who Eurobeat. Wants to get tickets, they can check that out. But you're not a Eurovision fan?
It's not that I'm not a fan. It's just I've never really watched it. And funnily enough, I filmed a streamed Easter Panto earlier on this year. Mm. And this was before I knew anything about Eurobeat. And my song in it as the Evil Queen was Rise Like a Phoenix. Now, that's song, right? Mm-hmm. From Austria.
Yeah,
it won, yeah. Yes, exactly. So I didn't even know that. And then I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's Eurovision. And then I watched a little bit of Eurovision. And I actually danced with Scott Mills on Strictly, and he presents it quite a bit, doesn't
correct
it?
Yeah, he does the semi-finals well. And stuff, yeah.
So I should know more about it actually, but I just don't. I'll be watching it this year, and depending on like rules and stuff, definitely with Eurobeat the Musical, we might set up a little outside thing where we watch it, and my friends will be like, we want to bring different foods to the picnic.
Classic Eurovision.
Starting with a letter of Lithuania, because I won't let them support any other country.
So what, beginning with an L?
Yeah, well, pick one letter from Lithuania. I know there's too many because you're only allowed six people, aren't you? Well, yeah, I don't know however many. But, like, only you can only bring food with letters from Lithuania.
Lasagna.
Yeah. That's a good one. And you can eat it cold. Lovely.
So I wanted to ask you, obviously, as a Strictly legend, what's your thoughts on Oatie announcing that this is going to be her last series this year?
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad. I don't follow anything. Oh my gosh, really? Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, I only did 3 years on there. You kind of know when you want to change career, and she's just amazing at what she does. She's won twice in a row. You know what?
It's never happened before. I don't think.
I know, not in a row. I mean, Iona was another pro that's won twice, but Oatie won twice in a row. That's not been done before. And you know, from there, she's gone on to do other things. She's choreographing musicals. She's presenting. She's, you know, doing all these amazing things. So you kind of know. It was like me. I mean, one of the reasons why I left was because I was like, well, I'm not gonna win it again, am I? She's proved me wrong on that. But anyway, I kind of was like, yeah, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve in ballroom dancing, whether it was competitions or Strictly. So now I want to follow the musical theatre dream. So you kind of know when it's your time. And yeah, if that's how she feels, then fair play, fair enough.
When you've been a professional on Strictly and you kind of make the decision to leave, which I'm guessing it doesn't happen overnight. I guess, like you say, you know when you know and you know when it's your time. But can you sit there on a Saturday night and watch it as a viewer, or is it very different now?
No, I watch it. I do watch it. And mainly because all of us pros are really good friends. We've known each other from the competition world or Burn the Floor, which is a ballroom and Latin theatre show beforehand. So we all know each other anyway from before Strictly. And we're just really good friends, all of us. Like, I cried this last final because I think the final was the same day that Boris Johnson announced, you know, Christmas basically cancelled. We couldn't go home and couldn't see our family. So I was already emotional. And then I kind of could see in my friends that everybody pulled together and were like, come on, let's make the UK smile again after this news and let's put on a really good show. And I cried just seeing my friends. I was really, really proud. And that's the first time since I've left Strictly, that was the first time I was like, oh, I wish I was still there and a part of that feeling. Just seeing all my friends pull together and put on this amazing show.
It was, I think the last season in particular was really event TV, because even more so than Strictly is normally, because there wasn't any other TV happening at the time. They even briefly had an audience, didn't they, and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, it was a big moment. So I can imagine that it would have been tough.
But it was emotional. And you know, I'm obviously like still, I used to live with Katia Jones and stuff. So like, we're really amazing friends. So I'm hearing from everybody, you know, how it's working and stuff. And it's just, I admire them all, everybody at Strictly, from the pros to the celebs to the production. I just think they did an amazing job of getting it up and running and making the nation happy through a really difficult time.
Absolutely. Because there aren't many shows like Strictly where you can all sit down as a family for all different generations and just watch a lovely entertainment show and see people doing something that you can see everyone enjoy so much.
Yeah, I mean, like with Strictly, I in my opinion, obviously there's different opinions and stuff, but in my opinion, it is the best show on TV for that reason. Like, we all get videos of like 3-year-olds copying us with us on the telly, and they're like dancing away, jiggling about, and then you've got like the 93-year-olds doing the same thing, and you know, people are putting videos on social media and tagging us in it of their grandparents and great grandparents just dancing along to the dances and stuff. And I just think it's warm, isn't it? It just makes people smile. There's no like, well, I guess there is, can be gossip around it with the newspapers and stuff, but the show itself is not about that. It's about family and feeling good and just a feel good show.
And what's been going on with you in the last couple of months? Because obviously, like you said, it's getting exciting. Things are starting to happen now. But if you are in musical theatre, it's been incredibly difficult, hasn't it?
It's been tough. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough. probably more for my brother, actually, because he decided to leave Strictly just before the pandemic happened. I was like,
bad timing, Kevin. Bad timing.
Yeah, really bad timing. But yeah, I've managed to do things like Eurobeat, which I'm so grateful for, and Easter Panto. I've done lots and lots of like online streamed concerts and things I've been involved in. But, you know, I'm lucky and grateful enough that I was able to fall back on my dancing and teaching. My profile from Strictly really helped, you know. I'm very, very grateful and not naive about that. And I've just, yeah, just been getting through. We've literally finished, right, me and Ben Adams, who wrote Eugenius, have finished working on, we've got a finished script of our musical that we've written, Bloody Nora, which is now with producers and stuff like that. Amazing. So that looks like it's going to go on at some point soon. Yeah, so just getting up to those kind of things.
Exciting times ahead then.
Yeah, yeah, very, very, very. I've had some auditions. I didn't get them, but I've had some. So things are starting up. It's all very exciting.
But do you get more nervous this time round because there's been such a long break of not doing those normal, like you might be going for a couple of auditions a week or a month or whatever, but like suddenly there's been nothing to audition for. Is it quite nerve-wracking?
I haven't been really nervous. I actually went for one and it was a dance call and I was so buzzing. I was absolutely buzzing to be there around other people in a studio, you know, just being the fact of being in a studio for me. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I can get why it could be a little bit like, oh, but no, I was absolutely buzzing to be there.
And what will we see you in next then after Eurobeat? Is there anything coming up directly or are you still waiting on details? That's fine. But there is some stuff coming up then.
There is some stuff coming up in the near future, and yeah, I just can't tell you.
That's all right.
I did get a job which has had to have been postponed, so I'm waiting to hear when that's going to go on and stuff.
Oh yeah, what about touring with Kevin? There was a show you guys were putting together.
Oh yeah,
you?
We started that. The big tour of Burn the Floor that we were headlining together with a cast of like 30 dancers or whatever. That was just before the first lockdown. We literally had done the run through the day before Boris said, you know, that everything's shutting down, and we just thought like, oh, it'll be 2 weeks and then we'll be back up. But no. And then it was postponed, and now only Kevin can do it. So we did try between lockdowns to put on a socially distanced version of an audience with, and it was just a cast of four. It was me, Kev, and two other amazing dancers from the Burn the Floor cast, an evening with, so singing and dancing and talking and stuff. And we got to do five shows around amazing. In different theatres, and then the second one was announced, or whichever one it was in November. One was literally announced from Monday. Everything shut down again, and we were like, oh. But yeah, luckily, like we've got other things. Well, luckily and unluckily, we've got other things lined up, so we can't really do that one anymore. But I'm sure in the future we'll do a show together.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. It's not like either of you are going anywhere. You'll always be brother and sister, so there's always the opportunity. I mean, I do really feel for people. I had friends that work in theatre, and they were putting a panto together that they essentially knew was never going to be able to happen. Like, and it's so difficult. Like, I do really feel for people in the theatre. Well, we've had other guests on saying the same thing.
But I think we've been resilient. Yes. And I think we've all been resilient. I think we've gone and created new things. It's made everybody turn their creative minds on. We've been streaming stuff. We've been doing concerts. We've been doing all kinds of blooming stuff have come out of the woodwork. It's actually, you know, given time to people who can work on their new musicals coming out. Loads of new musicals are coming out and stuff. So, you know, I really respect the theatre community for that.
Of course.
Absolutely. Well, thank God for technology.
God for Zoom.
Indeed. I'd never heard of it before, to be honest.
No one had.
I hadn't.
What would we have done without it? Who knows? But there's light at the end of the tunnel now. And it's amazing to hear that things are all heading in the right direction. It's exciting times.
Yeah, I'm so, so excited. Fingers crossed, fingers crossed everything is going back to normal.
Joanne, thank you so much for joining us and really appreciate it. Best of luck with Eurobeat. Hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Bye, hon. Thanks for joining us. Stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
What a nice girl. Yeah. Like she's been caught a little bit by surprise there, but all good and nice. And exactly like she said, nice to hear things are getting back to normal.
definitely. Lovely bit of positivity. It's what we like.
100%. This is what Access All Areas is all about.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. Let's get in your pal, S Club 7 star, Joe O'Meara.
From one Joe to another. It's the Joe Show.
Bobby.
Hello, Joe. How are you, my love?
I'm fine, my darling. How are you?
Really good. Oh, it's so nice to see and hear you virtually, but it's lovely. How is everything? Yeah, we're good. Doing good, babe. Doing good. Feeling more positive now. I feel like we're at a better place now. Glad restrictions have started to lift up a little bit.
Yeah, they are. We're getting there slowly but surely.
How have you found it all, Joe? I mean, I know we've spoken a couple of times during some of the lockdowns. I don't feel like we're on lockdown 54 at the minute, but
I know. I've been all right. You know, there's not really much you can do. You just got to get on with it, ain't ya? So that's what I've been doing. And I've been busy anyway, because I've been doing the album and the single and getting stuff ready for the release of the first single and stuff. So I've been able to do that. So that's good.
It's kept you busy. I was going to say, you have been a busy girl.
I have, yeah. It's
Tell good. Us more about it. How did it all come about, Joe?
Well, it happened. Do you know what? It was literally, Bob, 2 weeks before we was put into the first lockdown, and I got a record deal and I was going back in to do the album stuff, and then everything closed, didn't it? And then
that's so terrible, like such terrible timing, right? Like, what can you do? You can't do anything.
Really bad timing, yeah. So anyway, when the first lockdown was lifted and then you could sort of like have 6 people socially distanced, that's when I could get in the studio and start writing and getting everything going, which I'd done. And luckily I managed to wrap the album up pretty quick. So that was handy, because then we got thrown into another one after that. So I was glad I managed to get the album done at least. And then it's just a waiting game now, really, just waiting for the right time.
And what's the feeling? Are you excited? Is there a bit of nerves?
There's a bit of both, I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously, I'm so excited, because I think to get a record deal, like, is really quite lucky, really. But I'm very excited, but I am nervous, because it's been 16 years since I put my first solo album out there. It's a long time. So a bit of both.
And what kind of made you think now was the right time? I guess it has been 20 years since S Club 7 first kind of hit. I remember coming back from school and watching the TV show, like, you know, it seems like yesterday. Like, was that kind of why you wanted to do it now, sort of, or was it just by chance?
It's now or never, really, because I'm sort of like getting older. And also, if I hadn't took the opportunity and done it, I would have been just thinking to myself, oh, I wonder if I'd given it a go, what might have been. And I just thought, you've just got to go for opportunities when they're handed to you. So I've just gone for it. And I'm so pleased I did, because I feel so good at the minute. I'm feeling very positive.
When you look back at S Club, Joe, do you have fond memories of the band and you guys all being together?
Yeah, there are. I mean, when I see things, because there's a lot of S Club 7 sort of fan sites that are online, and every now and then you sort of scroll down and you can see like clips from the TV shows, and then that'll spark memory. And we were just all so young. We were just like young kids running wild, really. I think the people that used to interview us used to absolutely dread us, because we were just, we were like wild animals, we were. And like everyone was talking over one another, and it was a bit of a nightmare with the 7. But we did have some really, really good times. And I'm very grateful that I was part of something that was so now, I suppose, iconic as this club, really.
And there's definitely like form at the minute, isn't there, for bands coming back and having massive success. I mean, look at Steps and how well they've done, and really kind of rebranded themselves with really cool pop music. I mean, no one would have thought that was something that could have happened, right? But it is something that people are ready for it now.
Definitely, yeah. And I think Steps' new stuff is really good. It's very ABBA, isn't it? And I'm really liking that. They're sort of like bringing that old ABBA vibe back. And I've really liked the Steps stuff that they've released so far.
there's just a lot of nostalgia, isn't there, for 20 years ago. And I think, yeah, you could probably, you know, people remember you and the band and what you did. So yeah, it must be really exciting for you.
Yeah, it is. It's always fun, like when we were sort of like doing the tour in 2015. And, you know, and everyone's up dancing and singing Reach for the Stars. It's just a nice celebration. And I don't think it's ever been more popular, like the 90s stuff, as today. People Absolutely. Are just really embracing it, like all the bands, you know. So it was a good time, though, to be fair. I think it's when things were a lot maybe easier in the 90s, definitely.
I wanted to ask you, Dave, you know I'm a massive S Club fan and I love you, clearly you're my girl. But Tina's recently come out and said that all of you guys in the band are up for doing a reunion, obviously because it's the 20th anniversary coming up. Is this true? Is it happening? Is there an S Club WhatsApp group? Tell us everything.
There's not an S Club WhatsApp group. It would be going ping, 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 ping all the time. But do you know what? There's nothing set in stone. There's been no meetings or anything like that. I mean, I'd never say never to it. You don't never know what's around the corner. But who knows? That's all I'm saying.
Would you be up for it?
I think I'd be up for it. Yeah, if the timing's right, because obviously getting Seven Diaries together sort of like, it's tough because, you know, a few of us have got children and people are married and got other careers going on, so timing is always a big massive has a big part to play in it, definitely, but you never know, could be reaching again one day.
Oh, if you do, I'm there
front row.
I'm gonna be row so. One I'm there singing. I know the words, the dance words. Do you think, Joe, say it does happen and you all get back together, do you think it will feel how it did 20 years ago?
Well, it did when we done it in 2015. We'd not been together on stage of, God, what was it at that point? Like 14, 15 years. And as soon as we got in the rehearsal room, all the old jokes started coming back. And all
who's
the old
crap, who can't do it
back.
And all that.
And we was all like Mickey taking out of one another. And it was just like we'd never been away, really. Just a little bit older.
I'd like to see it filmed. Do you remember when Steps did their comeback? There was like a documentary following the Will the Band Get Back Together? I'd love to see it in this kind of version.
Oh, wow. I don't know if you would.
I think, Joe, that you saying that makes me want to see it even more, to be honest. I could see a Netflix special or something. I would love something like that. But there has been, you've seen recently, actually, some criticism of the music industry. You guys obviously were quite vocal about the things that happened to you at the time and kind of the money you weren't and all that kind of stuff. Now there's obviously been this whole thing about X Factor and what's going on behind the scenes and the contracts that people sign and stuff. What do you make of the state of the music industry and what it's like?
Yeah, do you know what? I was asked about this. I was asked to go on and talk about this. And this is, God's honest truth, I really don't know much about what the story is because I don't really read it.
Fair.
You know, I just sort of like stayed away and sort of I don't need to be reading negativity stuff, so I can't comment on it because I don't know enough about the story. But from my personal perspective, it wasn't us as a band that was saying bad stuff about our management. That's just stuff that was being thrown out there.
I see it.
We were young kids and we had mortgages and we were doing pretty well. So I'm forever grateful. And I'm always grateful for anything in life.
And that's a very good way to be. I guess, set you up to where you are now. You wouldn't be there without
it. Exactly. Exactly. And now I'm getting to make the music that I want to make and I'm getting a chance to get my voice out there with this new album and songs that I've written from my heart that have got meaning for me. And without S Club and without that opportunity, then I would never have been able to do that, maybe. You don't know.
Yeah.
So
when you get pen to paper, obviously I've never written a song. You've heard me sing, Joe. It ain't my forte. But are you one of them, like, obviously Adele's famous for it, like, say it's an heartbreak or say she gets that pen, or I don't know, she does it on a pen or a Mac or anything when she writes it on back of an envelope. Do you find it quite a therapeutic process? And do you kind of, does it come from somewhere, like an emotion that you've lived?
Yeah, I think so, most definitely. I think it's very hard to, like, not everything that I write is from personal experiences and stuff, because that would just be impossible to do. But the ones that I've personally written are, yeah, they've come from somewhere. So they've definitely come from somewhere. And I think it's quite, yeah, and it is quite therapeutic. It's nice to put pen to paper and just, sometimes the writing just sort of does it itself. And, you know, and I'm also very lucky that I've got a team of people that can help me tell my story better, because sometimes I don't quite get it quite right, and then I get some help in that way. But it's definitely all part of me.
What kind of style is the album?
It's a complete mixed bag. There's some heartbreak on there. There's some stuff to make you want to get up and dance. There's some folky stuff. There's good, like, up and down. It's a complete mixed bag. So there's definitely something on there for everyone to listen to.
Oh, I'm excited to hear it. Do you know when you're dropping it, Joe?
No, I don't know the exact date of when the actual album is going to come just yet, purely because of the COVID. It kind of messed all the plans up for what we had for the release. So, but I can say it's not going to be very, very long. It's not long. We're just in the final stages of putting it all together now. But obviously, I don't want to say it's going to come out at this time. And
well, this is
gone.
Kind of the problem at the moment, isn't it? No one can really make any long-term plans of any kind.
No.
Whether it's booking a holiday or releasing an album, it's just not an option.
It's just not an option, yeah. So we'll see. But it won't be long. That's all I can say. That's for definite. It won't be long.
Do we have a name?
I'm sort of there. There's like two, which I don't want to give the game away just yet, but I've got two that I'm very keen on. One's out there in front, which I think it's going to be, but I'm going to save that.
Okay. Exciting.
It's so exciting. I literally can't wait. Does it feel really different? Because obviously now music is all about street. I mean, I remember the days I used to go to our press.
You used to go to Woolworths.
Willies,
and then
yeah.
That was it.
I remember buying cassettes.
Yeah, you pick a mix and you're £2.49 single.
Yeah. So does it feel different for you as an artist now, or is it still the same process?
No, it's completely alien to me. I feel like I'm really out of touch. I feel suddenly very old because all the kids are getting it and streaming stuff, and I don't understand it. There's so many different charts now as well. There used to be just like one chart. You used to press play and record on a Sunday at 5 o'clock, whatever it was. Those days have all gone, and now it streams and it changes all the time. So it is completely different. Yeah, I'm still learning.
Well, it's going to be exciting, and I'm really pleased for you that it's all come together. And yeah, definitely can't wait to hear it.
Thank you.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
Once it's out, please do come on again. We'd love to speak to you again.
Most definitely. And also, don't forget, I just on Friday I done Don't Stop Moving for the 20th anniversary of that song, so that is out now on all platforms, so people can stream that one.
Fabulous. Well, we'll definitely give that a listen. Would you like to give us an introduction to it, and we'll play it out at the end of the show?
Okay. This is Jo O'Mara with Don't Stop Moving, Unplugged.
DJ got the party started, there's no end in sight. Everybody's moving to the rhythm that's inside. It's a crazy world, but tonight's the right situation. Don't get left behind. I can feel the music moving through me everywhere. Ain't no destination, baby, we don't even care. There's a place to be if you need the right education. Let it take you there. Go with the magic, baby. I can see it there in your eyes. Let it flow. listen to the music, taking you to places that you never been before, baby, now. Touch the moment, almost feel it in the air. Don't know where we're going, baby. We don't even care. Ain't no mystery. Just use your imagination. Let it take you there. Go with the magic, baby. I can see it there in your. Let it flow, stop the waiting. Right there on the dance floor is where you gotta let it go. Don't stop moving, can you feel the music? DJ's got us going round, round. Don't stop moving, find your own way to it. Listen to the music. Hey.
Nostalgic, Steve.
Oh, I tell you, I mean, yeah, like I was saying, that time when that S Club 7 show was on, that was like my peak running home from school to watch that on TV. It was like pivotal childhood watching. So yeah, it's really exciting that she's coming back now.
And I'm so excited for her album. I just think she's got such an iconic voice.
Yeah, it's actually, I forgot to say, but it's actually a little bit like, you know how Claire from Steps, like,
yeah,
like she can really belt out that tune. Jo's got that similar kind of vibe, hasn't she?
Absolutely.
So yeah, can't wait to hear the album. Well, great show today. Really glad to have the two Jo's on.
Hello.
What are you up to next couple of days, or anything exciting?
Nothing really too exciting, to be honest, babes. What am I?
Don't even like, know, do you? Gotta go to the shops.
I actually don't. I'm still very much just taking advantage of the gyms being open, slowly being allowed to get out a little bit. Might go and have an Ando's, get the lemon and herb in. How about you?
Well, I'm having a quiet week after my very hectic weekend, but my final run was supposed to be last Sunday, but because Saturday got postponed, it's now next Saturday. So that'll be nice this weekend. Then it's the bank holiday weekend, isn't it? So I don't know, maybe see some friends on the Monday. We'll have to make a decision close to the time. But yeah, should just nice, keep things moving and enjoy a bit more of the lockdown. But don't overdo it, as I've learned last weekend, because you may end up in South Ockenden getting your phone from a stranger.
Keep that SPF on you this time.
Yeah, I will. I think I might have to upgrade to factor 50, Bob. This is how bad my skin is. I was on the 30 and it just wasn't doing the job. So factor 50 it is, like 50. an old lady. Indeed. Well, for next week, everyone, goodbye.
Bye, guys.